Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Tonight on Fast, record highs on Wall Street to kick off the new year. And one top strategist says this could be just the beginning. What Fast Money friend Tom Lee sees for the start of 2022. Plus, travel nightmares, thousands of flights canceled over the weekend, hundreds more still in peril. What the holiday delays could mean for airlines and the rest of the travel industry. And a semi standout, the long lagging chip stock that made a big breakthrough today. What it is and why it caught the eye of one of our traders. This is Fast Money for 2022. I'm Melissa Lee. Tonight's trader lineup, Guy Dami, Tim Seymour, Karen Feinerman, and Dan Nathan. Happy New Year, everyone. We begin with a record start for this new year for the markets. The S&P and Dow closing at new all-time highs to kick off 2022. The Nasdaq jumping more than 1%, but all eyes on this historic move by Apple, the company becoming the first in the world to a market cap of $3 trillion, the tech giant adding its last trillion in just 16 months. So will the stock continue to be a leader in the new year? Guy, what do you think?
Hi, Melms.
Hi.
Certainly feels that way, right? And Wedbush had a note out today. They attributed half their market cap to the services business. And there's obviously lots to like here. Karen and Tim have been on this for years. Dan talks about it all the time. You know, will it be a leader? It's interesting. I think Apple, and it was late that they actually got across the finish line, but it was up 34%, I think, last year. Broader market up 29%. And it probably outperformed just over the last month and a half. So, yeah, I think it'll do exactly that. I think it'll be a market performer to slightly outperform. And Steve Grasso tweeted this today, and there's probably a lot of truth to it. Now that it's gotten to that $3 trillion mark, the next sort of obstacle or the next threshold is going to be $200 a share. And quite frankly, there's every indication it's going to get there.
Yeah. I mean, we have to think about what is next for Apple, don't we, Dan? Or do we not? Is it all, can we get to the next milestone with services and not revolutionary new products, but evolutionary products?
Yeah, I mean, they're iterative, right, Mel? And I mean, really what you're getting at is there something that around an automobile, whether it be autonomy or something like that, and that would be a heck of a service. They don't even need to do much as far as hardware is concerned. You know, guys said Dan talks about it all the time. I mean, listen, you know, this is a universally loved stock. It's not one that, for instance, that I have picked individually, but it's becoming an increasingly part of anybody's portfolio who owns a SPY or a QQQ ETF or mutual funds that track them. And you think about it, it's 7% nearly of the S&P 500. It's nearly 12% of the NASDAQ 100. This is a company that's trading about 32 times this year's expected earnings that are only expected to grow 2% on about 4% sales growth. Now, obviously, they have a very stable gross margin, about 42%, but that is very much predicated on services and them growing off this 1.5 billion iOS installed base. So to me, this is a very expensive stock that's just rallied 30% in the last 3 months. Like Guy said, it's up about 55% or so from those January 2020 lows. But make no mistake about it, this stock will sell off and you will have the opportunity to buy it. It sold off from its highs in January to its lows in March of 2021, about 20%, and it had about 2 10% sell-offs. So buying it up here at an all-time high when enthusiasm is at record highs doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, that sales growth number that Dan had mentioned, that the consensus on FactSet at least is 5% annually for the next 3 years, Karen. So is it worth what you're paying for Apple right now for that growth?
That's an excellent question. It's the $3 trillion question, I guess. I mean, is it worth it right now? We'll see. I think that the expectations never end up being quite exactly what Apple ends up earning. So it's not cheap, for sure. It's not cheap. I'm long. I don't know when to sell it, right? And then I have to figure out when am I going to get back in. I agree with Dan. We absolutely could see sell-offs here, multiple sell-offs in this name. I will buy more if that happens, but I'm still not inclined to sell it here. I don't have a much better idea to put the money where to put the money. And they've continually been able to come up with new things. We're going to see some refreshes later this year. I think that 5G still has legs. So I'm staying long, even though I recognize it is expensive.
I ask this question earnestly, Tim. And that is, do we really care about $3 trillion in market cap? Is that just a number that we like to seize on? Or is there actual significance to this in terms of Apple being the largest company in the world at this point? Does it change anything?
Happy New Year, by the way. And you know, the first thing that I think that Dan talked about in terms of just the flows of capital. So that's what's significant here. This is the biggest stock in the universe. This is a stock that's up 130% from pre-COVID. So let's be clear. For anyone that said that Apple is underperformed, there's no way the stock is underperformed. It's outperformed. It's outperformed the S&P by 65% from pre-COVID. From the COVID low, it's even outperformed the S&P by 52%. So, yeah, there have been a couple periods, and until that November 15th, the year-end rally where it outperformed the S&P by 20%, it's underperformed. In the sense that this is the biggest stock in the world at a time when liquidity is flowing, central banks have opened the spigot, it is a significant number because I think we're going to have a big year in 2022 where at least we're watching central banks removing that liquidity. The most important thing about Apple, the stock, is that the multiple has re-rated on the back of the services business. So if you listen to Wedbush, who says it's going to be a $100 billion services business by 24, that's a massive business that deserves probably a 30 times or greater multiple relative to peers. And again, that would be significantly less of a multiple than a lot of other folks that would be trading on a software or recurring revenue multiple. The hardware business is trading at 15 times in the best product cycle of its lifetime. So in this market, Apple's an own, but as everyone has said, be careful where you're buying it.
Yeah. The other thing to consider with Apple, Guy, is that Apple is a huge buyer of its own shares, which has helped. I mean, Ed Lee tweeted this out earlier, and it's basically a two-panel chart. The top chart is either market cap or stock price. Take your pick. And the bottom is shares outstanding. Apple bought $85.5 billion worth of stock in 2021. And Bernstein's Tony Sacconaghi says it can buy back 3 to 4% of shares outstanding and not adding any net debt through 2026. It is creating its own floor under the stock, Guy.
It's pretty amazing, right? That added with the fact that passive investing and how many ETFs and mutual funds that Apple's in. I mean, you can start doing the math and you can understand as money flows, news cycle and the news that we talk about sometimes is it's rendered moot. I'll say this, though, quickly. They probably get penalized, crazy enough, for the amount of cash they have on their balance sheet. You can make an argument that they actually put that to work in a more productive way than just buying back their stock. The stock and their rating would actually be higher. So, you know, $250 billion or so sitting around on their balance sheet. Again, my sense is that's probably not a net positive. It's probably to some shareholders or some investors a net negative.
What do you want Apple to do with its cash, Karen?
Buy Google shares. I actually would think Google should buy Google shares. I think Apple's doing the right thing, right? I disagree with Guy on that in that I think that as they buy back stock, they just, you know, reduce the float, the EPS goes higher, and the market is given that higher EPS, a higher multiple. So I think they've done a really good job of cash management. I mean, they do have debt, not that they're plenty able to service way more debt than they even have. So I think they've done a really good job with financial engineering, and I wish that Alphabet would do the same thing.
All right. Well, speaking of winners last year, winners today, we want to know if one out there should stick with the same strategy in this new year, or if we should shake things up. Now, you might remember that we tasked our traders at the start of 2021 with coming up with the acronym they thought would rule the market that year. Tim's is RISE, Rio Tinto, IWM, Schlumberger, and emerging markets. On average, that trade was up more than 9% last year. So, Tim, we go to you tonight. Do you stick with this, or do you mix things up?
Well, I love mixing things up, Mel, so I have to mix things up. And I have a new acronym for 22. And the acronym would be LIVE, L-I-V-E. And that's a function of just the world we live in. I think people after 21 need to go out and live. But so let's break it down. The L in LIVE is Las Vegas Sands. And it's a bit of a coming out party for other hospitality stocks as well. But look, what happened to casinos in 2021 is a function of both Omicron, Delta variants, but also China and China-related travel immobility. is devastating. The multiple is cut in half. So I think it's a great way to play what I think is going to be hospitality and coming out stocks. The I is for internet stocks. And that really are, you know, some of these high multiple stocks that were crushed in 2021, despite the fact that the internet story continues to be the great secular story of our time. But the most notable hit to that space was in China. Again, the Chinese internet stock. So it's KWeb is the way I would play that, because I think after being down 66% from the high, there's a huge opportunity here. And I think China is starting to step back from the aggressive pressure on these names. The V is the VIX. And frankly, look, we all know there's going to be more Fed in 2022 and 2023. And to me, more Fed equals more volatility. And I think investors need to be selective about this because there's vol within vol, but owning volatility in 2022 is critical. And then the E is energy again. So not Schlumberger, but the entire energy space. Look, if you look at the charts, if you look at Brent, I think a function of supply and demand having really reached a place where both make sense, but that these companies, you hear me say it, are run for investors, not necessarily for company management and growth at all costs. I think energy will be a trade for investors in 2022, not just traders. So it outperformed significantly in 21, but I think you're going to see significant flows here in 22.
All right. So LIV is Tim's. Karen, now in 2021, Karen's acronym was WTF, which I thought was very funny. Walmart, TJX, and FedEx, the major gainer in that group, TJX. So Karen, what's your acronym for 2022?
Well, my acronym still for 21 is WTF. I mean, that was just really disappointing. And Tim, I'm glad yours is live, not evil, which would be the same. But anyway, so mine is zombie. And that is Zillow, which we've talked about a lot. I love that they got out of the iBuying business. I love the assets that they have left. And I love that the stock got absolutely crushed. So that's the first one. The second one is the OIH. I, too, want to have exposure to energy for all of the reasons that Tim just said. It fits my acronym nicely, and I do own it, so that's why I picked the OIH, but it could be expressed that bet a lot of other ways. The third one is Meta Platforms. I think that there is no Meta priced in to Meta Platforms. So I've liked Facebook for a long time. We all know the headwinds they face in terms of regulation, and they're really in the doghouse in terms of, you know, what they do for society. But in terms of cash flow generation and a great business with huge margins, I'm staying long this name. And then the last one is banks. And, you know, it would be great if we could annualize today's performance for banks all year. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think they set up nicely. We had a very big move in the 210 today, more than 10%, albeit off a very low base. But I think that as the Fed raises, you're going to want to be in low PE stocks. And I think banks fit the bill. So that is my acronym for 2022, zombie.
Guy, what do you think of zombie, which is spelled Z-O-M-B?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to spell it. That's, you know, it's difficult for me. Well, Zillow, I think she's spot on. Because if you go back, we had people come from the Ira Sohn conference. And a lot, or at least two people, I think, where Zillow was their best bet. And then it sold off precipitously. So I think she's getting it at a great level. So I'm with her on the zombie. And Meta, I said it 100 times. I hate everything about the company, but Karen is spot on. The Meta portion probably hasn't been priced in. That's going to do well for her this year.
By the way, we did already ask Guy and Dan. Guy's was Dawn, and Dan's was AARP. All right, so where should you be invested in the new year? We want to ask Fast Money friend Tom Lee. Tom is a managing partner, a fund strat, and a CNBC contributor. Tom, great to have you back. 51,000 is your target. You think it may be conservative, and this is based on history, stats that were pulled by your data guy at Fund Strat. What did you find?
Yes, our head of data science is tireless, Ken, and he does work 24 hours. Maybe there's two of them. But what he looked at was two things. One is market performance after the S&P posts more than 27% gains, which is what happened last year. And the median return since 1938 is 16%. So that implies S&P 5600. And the second vector is midterm election years. And in years where the control is Democratic trifecta, which is what we have today, second half gains tend to be 16%. So I think we're in a year where we'll be constantly surprised by the market's resilient. The first half, I think, is quite tough, but I think that the full year is going to be very strong.
What does quite tough mean?
I think 2022 is probably the first year that the highest probability of a 10% correction. As you know, many kind of called for that last year, but we had pointed out that a drawdown of that big wasn't historically supported. But I think this year there's a chance that, you know, we could rally to 55,000, you know, in January, and then pull back towards you know, something pretty ugly by the summer. But I don't think that that's should be viewed as a top. I think it's just going to feel gut-wrenching.
I kind of agree with your outlook here. And, you know, 5,100 from here is not a far cry. But if we do have that pretty sharp sell-off that you think comes at some point this year, then it's a good rally off the lows. Do you get concerned? You just heard our conversation about Apple at $3 trillion in market cap. Are some of these mega cap stocks becoming too big to fail? Are they too big of the components of the major indices here? And might we have a hiccup? Because there's been no hiccups in these names. And are they the ones that are going to lead us lower when we do have that correction?
Well, without question, S&P is becoming a tech index because of the weight. And, you know, the best companies in America are basically technology, healthcare, and banks. I mean, that's really the three big sectors of the S&P. We think FANG's going to be one of the outperformers in 2022 because the PE's derated last year. And so we think the chances of the FANG stocks, including Meta and Apple, having PE contraction is low. So they're going to track earnings growth. So I think FANG could be up 30% this year. And as you guys are using acronyms, I mean, our top three groups are, you know, Bitcoin-related equities, energy stocks, and FANG, which is beef.
Tom, you're always willing to play, and we always appreciate that. Tom Lee, yeah, a fun strat with his beef tray. Tim, what do you think of beef?
I know where the beef is, and I do think, as we talked about some of the FANG names, there are places that the multiples make sense. I you know, look, on Bitcoin and crypto-related equities, you know, that's the part of this that I still think investors are finding the hardest place to really put their allocations in the stock market. They're not having any problems allocating towards crypto. So I would just say one of the dynamics we saw in 21 was that crypto money was flowing back and forth. And I do believe as a function of the wealth created there, the overall market is going higher. So if crypto's going higher, we know where the beef is, and the beef is certainly going to be in the market.
I'm an acronym within an acronym. I'm not sure if that's legal in acronym land, Dan, but what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, listen, I think it is the mega caps that lead us lower. And, you know, I think it's really important to understand that last year there was plenty of investors who are looking at the fundamentals of companies. And Tom just talked about derating. Well, we're seeing growth decelerate even among these mega cap names. And maybe there's further re-rating of some of these things. And if you look in just in some of the internet space, I mean, Twitter and Snap, they closed down on the year. Those were not great years, and there was no shortage of other innovative technology names. We could look at the ARK complex that traded really poorly. So I think that comes to large cap land. I think the best case scenario for 2022 is that it happens earlier than later, because we don't want it really to steamroll. We want it to get some fear out of this market. And lastly, I'll just say this, back to Tim's acronym, I really like that K-Web. You know, we had Carter Braxton Worth on a couple weeks ago talking about Shanghai Composite, very near a breakout at all-time highs. You look at the devastation in some of these names and the reasons why. I think you want to focus out of maybe some of the larger cap industrial and banks in China and focus on some of these internet names. So I like his K-Web.
Coming up, travel trouble. Airlines kicking off the new year with some turbulence, canceling more than 1,800 flights since Christmas Eve. So how will the travel stocks fare? The details ahead. Plus, Tesla's electric year, one day old year. The EV maker posting record fourth quarter deliveries and entering the new year fully charged. We got the details when Fast Money returns.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Check out shares of Tesla surging more than 13% after the EV maker posted record deliveries last quarter, wrapping up the year with more than 900,000 EVs delivered. Let's get to Phil LeBeau, who's got the details. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Melissa, much better than expected numbers, much better than expected, because nobody was close to expecting well over 900,000 vehicles to be delivered for the entire year. The consensus was 897. Take a look at the annual sales growth for Tesla, and we're going all the way back to the beginning here. This is a chart that I think if Elon Musk would have said, hey, this is what our trajectory is going to be over the next 10 years, initially people would have scoffed. He did say that they would have growth in an S-curve, at first, but then it would take off, and it has taken off. 936,000, topping that number for last year. By the way, that's 87% growth compared to 2020. Sets up the question, what can we expect next year? The consensus on FactSet is for 1.34 million Teslas to be delivered. If that happens, from where they are right now, that would be 43% growth. And remember, they've got the Texas and Berlin plants that are scheduled to open shortly. They'll be ramping up production, feeding more of the demand that is out there. But some people are saying, wait, 43%? I think that the number is going to be much higher for 2022 deliveries. Adam Jonas put out a note today raising the question, could they hit 2 million? And he wrote, at this point, we'd still describe 2 million as a stretch target, but one that looks far more realistic following 4Q deliveries. We will get more information in terms of what Elon Musk and the Tesla team believe they can provide for 2022 when the company reports its Q4 earnings later this month or early next month. Going into that, RBC, JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, all raising their estimates for the fourth quarter. We may see other firms do the same thing as we move a little bit closer to that earnings report. Remember, the interesting thing to keep in mind is that you have Tesla reporting its deliveries today. Tomorrow, we will hear from the rest of the auto industry. We'll hear their Q4 numbers as well as 2021 for, quote unquote, the internal combustion engine companies. They're also doing EVs, but primarily we're talking about ICE manufacturers here, GM, Ford, and Toyota. Let's see what the reaction is when those numbers come tomorrow. But today, clearly Tesla's day with far better than expected numbers for the fourth quarter and for all of 2021.
That is some forecast from Adam Jonas, and I know that there are a lot of conditions surrounding that statement, Phil, but to say even that doubling its production next year, or I should say next year,
right.
Is pretty bold. I'm wondering from your standpoint, Phil, I mean, in terms of chip shortages and supply chain issues, Tesla was able to navigate them completely and deliver more than what they thought.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, a lot of this Elon Musk talked about this after the third quarter, and that was the surprise quarter that I think a lot of people said, wait a second, we thought operations would be the weakness for Tesla as it continues to grow as an automaker, and they showed that they can handle the chip crisis. They've done a number of things to make it so they do not have as much reliance on certain chips, as well as working with certain chip suppliers to make sure that, quote unquote, they are the ones who get the chips as quickly as possible. And as a result, they've been able to navigate this situation far better than others. Look, I think it was Daimler's CTO is out today, Melissa, saying they expect that the chip situation to be a scarce one in the first quarter. And here you've got Tesla continuing to grow and continuing to ramp up production. It really has people rethinking how they look at Tesla when it comes to manufacturing.
Phil, thanks. Phil Lebeau in Chicago for us. Karen, as Phil had mentioned, we're going to get the legacy automakers to report their deliveries tomorrow. I'm wondering, it's going to be a real story of contrasts. Contrast, in terms of how people are navigating the supply chain issues.
Right. I mean, we saw that in market contrast the last quarter, the one that Phil was talking about, how it didn't affect Tesla the same way it did GM, although I would point out the number of cars GM makes is materially bigger. So it would make sense that it's harder to get that many more chips. But that having been said, Tesla clearly did a better job. I hope we get some clarity from them. I would think that we will also see big numbers from them. But it was interesting, though. I was just reviewing with GM up so much today that Adam Jonas piece from late December where he values their ICE business, the internal combustion engine, at zero and their EV business at 51 and then a bunch of other assets to get to 75. But I'm not exactly sure how he came up with the 51, but it's so interesting to me that even with years of cash flow from the ICE business, he has it at zero. Hmm. I'm long, so
it was a
hope
big...
he's right one way or the other, the 75 or somewhere else.
Right. It was a big day overall for EV makers, the Chinese ones in particular. All of them were reporting earnings, Li, XPeng, NIO, Guy, and NIO is the N in your Dawn trade.
You are sharp as a tack. Yes, it is. And it's actually, I think it was a couple of weeks ago where NIO traded, I think, 28, and we talked about it finally capitulating on the downside. And I think this name, I hate to use this term, but it feels like it's a bit of a coiled spring. I think people are going to talk about him. And look at NIO's deliveries in December, up 50% year over year. So there's some room there. In terms of Tesla, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job with this stock. You know, we said it would trade into a back and fill and take a look at the prior all-time high at $900. That's what it did on December 20th, if you go back and look. Now, technically, this stock is set up to print $1,500, if not higher. And it's just a technician thing. But, you know, Tesla sets up really well, but I think some of the other names do as well.
All right. We are just getting started here on Fast Money. Here's what's coming up next.
Bumpy skies ahead. Airlines ringing in the new year with a rush of canceled flights. The travel trade impact is next. Plus, a chip rip. Dan Nathan is flagging the move in one surging semi stock. He'll break down what it could mean for the space. There's more Fast Money coming up.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Welcome back to Fast Money, a nightmare holiday hangover at the airports. Take a look at today's crowds at Chicago's O'Hare. Travelers still trying to get home following massive flight cancellations due to weather and COVID-related staffing issues. FlightAware reporting more than 4,700 cancellations worldwide as of moments ago. That's just for today. Yet airline stocks, they took off. United Airlines, Alaska, Delta, JetBlue, Southwest rallying today. Why do you think, Tim?
I think it's a function of being able to see the other side. And with the case of a lot of the airlines, look, they gave some guidance in December, mid-December. Some of it wasn't great. I mean, Southwest probably did a favor to all the other carriers by dropping a cost bombshell on the market, and they suffered. And since that point, airline stocks are up anywhere from 10 to 20%. Delta's up almost 20%. They had an investor day where they pointed out that 22 is going to be a difficult cost year. Costs are going to rise, chasm, as we say. Cost per available seat miles are going to go up probably 10 to 12%. The average seat miles or their capacity is going to shrink by 10%. So on some level, it's a blend that at least we know where they're going to be. And with airlines, it's always about how efficiently can they run. Look, for Delta in terms of the stock, a break of 42, and I think you've broken that downtrend that we started to see in the middle part of the year. They're the premium play to me. They're the one to own if you're going to own one airline. I do own them. I've known them for a long time, and I think they continue to take that premium market. So, it's not been an easy trade, but by 24, if you listen to Delta, they're going to be, roughly $7 a share on earnings, which makes them less than 6 times a share right now on that number.
2024 seems like a long ways away. I know it's only 2 years, but 2 years is a long time in the course of a pandemic, Guy. It may be gone, hopefully, knock on wood it is, but, we could be in this situation where there are ups and downs.
Yeah, but it's interesting. We've talked about this. Look at the airline stocks. I mean, they all topped out in April, I think, when the news in terms of the vaccine was at its best. And then they started trading lower. Now the news seemingly is back at its worst again. And these stocks have turned back higher. I think you want to listen to what the stocks are telling you. I'm with Tim on this one. I think they're clearly looking past this variant. And again, as a human being, it's hard to do that. But in terms of an investor and a trader, I think you absolutely have to do that. And you throw a couple other names in that mix. Expedia's had a huge run. And Airbnb is, I think, poised to take out those double tops of around 210 or so. So I think you want to be in these travel names as the news starts to abate and these stocks continue to grind higher.
All right, let's get more on travel and what's going on with the fallout from Omicron. Francis Davidson is the co-founder and CEO of Sonder, which is trying to go public this month through a SPAC. Francis, great to have you with us. Your main competitor is Airbnb, VRBO, hotels, all of the above?
Well, the way I describe Sonder is that we really are a hospitality disruptor. And what that means is that we offer a selection of beautifully designed hotels and apartments that you can stay in for a night, a week, as long as you'd like. And all the services are accessed through the Sonder mobile app. And so we actually run the properties ourselves using our homegrown technology, and that enables us to offer consistency, quality. So really, in a way, we're partnering with some of the Airbnbs and the VRBOs and Expedias and Booking.com, just like the hotel chains do.
So what have you noticed in terms of booking trends with Omicron surging?
Listen, it's looking that people want to travel. I think that's been the theme across the last 20 months, especially when we have the capacity to offer stays that are contactless, that are safer, using the mobile app as a way to get into the room and access services and so on. We've had a really strong performance versus the average hospitality company over the last 18 months as a result of our tech forward nature and our capacity to really tap into stays that are a little bit longer, the digital nomads that are now having a little bit more flexibility of working from anywhere. And so from our perspective, it's looking really good. And frankly, the cases rising from Omicron, as we've seen in Delta, which is a pretty scary wave, the vaccines have really changed the game in terms of consumer behavior, and people are really eager to travel.
Francis, thanks for joining us. You mentioned you're trying to go public through a SPAC. It's going to close soon. How does being public kind of advance some of the goals that you just talked about? And I believe that you guys have put out some results over the last two quarters, and we've had Delta, we've had Omicron. So you guys, talk to us a little bit about the performance during these two variants and what you think for the balance of 2022 for your own business.
Yeah, well, listen, we've exceeded expectations and we've raised our forecast 2 times. Q3 results were up 155% on revenue versus 2020. So really results that we're really excited to post. And that's despite, as you mentioned, headwinds when it comes to some of the turns that the virus has taken. And so we feel really, optimistic as a business. And frankly, this transition to the public markets is something that we've envisioned since the start. We want to build the business for, generations to come. And we think that this is just the start, and accessing the public markets gives us the balance sheet really to lean into the recovery, despite the fact that there's some near-term uncertainty. We're not going to lie about that. But really having a strong balance sheet enables us to play offense.
Francis, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. Francis Davidson of Sonder. Karen, in the travel sort of chain, where would you want to be? Airlines, hotels? I'm not even going to throw out cruise ships because I'm thinking that you're going to say no. But where would you want to be?
I'm going to say no. All of them, tons of debt. For me, this sort of reopen trade, Live Nation, now a Dan name also, and Ulta. So I have no exposure. It's been a big miss on that recovery and all those names, airlines, hotels, cruises, but the balance sheet just kept me away.
Yeah. Dan?
Yeah, so I find names like this really interesting, Mel. This is going to be about a $2 billion deal when it closes here. And I think that the one thing we spent a lot of time this year, or excuse me, last year, this time, talking about all these companies coming public via SPAC. And I think a lot of these names have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. And I think there's going to be some great companies where a lot of investors, if they do the work over the next year or so, and I think Karen agrees with me here because I've heard her say very similar, are going to find some companies in the private, in the public markets that have small market caps. They're going to grow into these valuations over the years. And I suspect Saunders one of them.
All right, coming up. Nike running higher in the second half of 2021, and one analyst thinks the stock can keep pace going into the new year. We'll break down that call, plus our own Dan Nathan is flagging a big move in one particular semi stock, the name surging more than 7% today. He'll break down what it could mean for the space next.
Get your trades to go with the Fast Money Podcast. Catch us anytime, anywhere. Follow today on your favorite podcasting app. We're back right after this.
Be sure to catch David Faber's full exclusive interview with former Disney CEO Bob Iger. The exec talks about his time at Disney and what may come next. You can listen by following and listening to the Squawk on the Street podcast today on your favorite podcast platform. Well, semiconductors were one of the biggest winners of 2021. Names like NVIDIA, Marvell, Applied Materials, far outpacing gains for the broader market. But one big holding, Taiwan Semi, lagged the rest, up only 10% last year. Today, though, it made a big move. Maybe this is a catch-up move. Dan, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, really interesting, Mel. This was the largest holding in the SMH ETF that tracks the semiconductor group. And I think we spent a lot of time over the last few months kind of scratching our heads. Why had this underperformed so dramatically? And the SMH really got a huge lift last year from NVIDIA, AMD, Broadcom. So I think it's interesting that this one right out of the gate, I think Goldman was out talking about some pricing power. They're expecting faster growth in 2022 over next year. And it's kind of a cheap stock. And you think about how they're positioned in some of in handsets and some of the exposure to, let's say, crypto. This is probably a name that you want to keep a close eye on as it breaks out of this 9 or 10 month range right here.
Do you like this price action guy, or would you go with a tried and true winner from last year, like an NVIDIA?
I think the price action is really encouraging. I mean, it's traded sideways now to Dan's point for quite some time. It's finally breaking out. I think 145 or so is the all-time high, and you can make a compelling case on valuation. Obviously, look, NVIDIA, we've all loved collectively, but I think Qualcomm at 15.5, 16 times next year's numbers is cheap as well. And Qualcomm looks like it's about to go blowing through its prior all-time high. I think if you had to list them, Taiwan Semi is definitely poised, Qualcomm second, and you stay with AMD here.
Where's Intel in all this, in your view, Tim? Intel, which, by the way, was included in the new Dogs of the Dow list, so the top 10 yielding stocks in the Dow. Not that that matters. It hasn't been a winning strategy, but it's sort of interesting just to see where it is and how it stacks up.
And it gives investors some patience to hold this long term for a turnaround that's, you know, we're talking $30 to $40 billion of capex over the next couple of years. Good news. But, you know, back to Taiwan Semi, what people don't realize is, again, they who have stolen Intel's lunch, 2/3 of their revenues are from leading edge technologies or 7 nanometers or lower. And so it's not as if they don't have a pretty exciting portfolio and pricing power, which I think Dan referenced. I think they benefit as some of these uber cyclical chips, begin to underperform. And this doesn't even count. You know, they're now starting to talk to the German government about providing 28 and 22 nanometer for their auto industries. I mean, you've seen this. They did it in Japan. They've done it here. They're arguably one of the most important companies in the world that a lot of people still don't know a lot about.
Yeah, we showed you Cisco. We showed you Cisco because it got booted out of the Dogs of the Dow because of its huge performance last year. Karen, do you see value, though, in Intel?
Not for me. I mean, I see that it's inexpensive. It should be inexpensive. They clearly have a lot to prove. And so until they start doing that, which hasn't really started, then I think it's sort of we'll keep this multiple. I agree with all the gentlemen. Taiwan Semi is really interesting. And also the guy, I think Qualcomm is interesting. That's probably one of those two would be where I'd go first.
All right. Coming up, when options traders betting big on the banks, is it time to add the financials to your portfolio ahead of earnings? More on that trade, but first run, do not walk to buy Nike shares. Guggenheim, that's it says, by the way, naming it their top pick for 2022. The bull case is next, much more fast right after this quick break. Welcome back to Fast Money. Take a look at shares in Nike moving lower today, despite being named a best idea for 2022 over at Guggenheim. It's our call of the day. Analysts at the firm bullish on the brand's leading footprint in the metaverse and its dominant market share. You know, to be fair, the metaverse is mentioned as an example of Nike being digital forward and looking forward to the future in terms of strategy, Tim. I'm not sure if it's actually entered into estimates at all, but it is symbolic of where Nike is headed.
But where Nike has been, and you know, they've actually been in the metaverse for some time. And if you're playing Roblox, you know, which I'm not, but, you know, you're there. So the story on Nike, though, is digital. And they're at 11% digital growth, according to their last numbers year over year, for a business that they want to be 50% digital in the short term. The gross margin up at 45.9% was one of the real highlights of the last quarter. I think innovation is really been the story of the last 4 or 5 years. And North America, so dominant in terms of the growth that it's alleviating some of the concerns that at least have been China. John Donahoe, I mean, really, again, an efficiency leader. And this is part of the reason why the company, I think, continues to be, building that gross margin.
Karen, what are your thoughts on Nike at this point? And are there other retailers you think should be in the metaverse or you like their strategy in the metaverse?
Well, so for Nike, I mean, it trades at a premium multiple. It absolutely should trade at a premium multiple. It was an interesting piece. They don't just get there on multiple expansion, which is not my favorite way to get to a higher price target. It's earnings. And they're talking about earnings improvement. And, you know, we've seen some of the hiccups that they've had, not just them, but in Vietnam and elsewhere that I think will be resolved. For me, I don't own Nike. I do own Capri. I do own Target, Walmart. I own some Foot Locker, which I just think is ridiculously cheap. Obviously, the more that Nike goes digital, the less good that is for Foot Locker. But I still think there's plenty of room there. And in terms of NFTs, I haven't bought one yet
really?
Or made one. I would, yeah. Do you have one? I'll buy yours if you want to make one. I'll buy it.
You know, it's going to be our Fast Money's 15th anniversary soon, and I wanted to see if we could make an NFT. I don't know if anybody would want to buy the thing, so that's a whole other
question. Well, I'll buy it just so we don't get embarrassed.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's easy money. I have an earnest question, though, another one for this show, number two in 2022. What are the margins on digital goods? On a pair of digital sneakers. It seems like a fantastic business.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, you know, listen. Oh, sorry. Did you say
no,
Tim
Dan?
Or Dan? Yeah. Come on, Tim. Give me a break here, man. No, but I think the way Tim lays it out is pretty good. I mean, these guys, one of the reasons this stock has this premium multiple over the last few years, and obviously it always has, is what they've done in digital. But that's not the metaverse, right? That's just e-commerce. And the fact that he knows that he's spending all these late nights on Roblox, you know, dealing with digital sneakers and everything like that. They just made this acquisition a few weeks ago. I mean, this is an area that they're going to flex. And if they are really at the forefront of fashion, which they certainly have, of course, that you have the ability to replicate at a much higher margin some of the trends that you do IRL in the metaverse.
In real life, Guy, IRL. Mm-hmm. Coming up, are the financials on fire when options traders betting on a smoking rally ahead? The move is next and later. Chipotle offering a new meatless option, but shares are getting burned today, or traders will dish on that one. Much more Fast Money in two. Welcome back. Here's what's coming up on Mad. Jim is naming names and picking stocks that have the most potential in 2022. The trades are ahead. And don't forget, you can have Cramer delivered right to your inbox at the CNBC Investing Club. Sign up now with the info on your screen. Meantime, check out the banks opening 2022 with a bang. The XLF Financials ETF jumping more than 1% to kick off the year. One option trader is betting almost $1 million that there are plenty more gains to come. Mike Coe joins us with the action. Hey, Mike.
Happy New Year, Melissa. So, yes, in the financials, we saw a lot of bullish activity today. XLF, we saw calls outpacing puts by about 2.5 to 1 on above average volume. That was largely the result of a purchase of 20,000 of the February 44 strike call spreads. They were spending about 40 cents for those. Buyers of those are betting that XLF could rise somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 10% by the third Friday in February. And by the way, we did see similar activity in a lot of the top constituents of XLF as well.
Yeah, huge gains, JP Morgan, Citi. Wells Fargo really jumped out at me today. Guy, I don't know if you were watching that one. A bunch of them were up.
No, absolutely. By the way, Karen nailed Wells Fargo when it was at its worst in terms of news. She stepped in. But Morgan Stanley sticks out to me. This is a name that Dan's talked about, everybody's talked about, but Dan brought it up a couple of years ago. They are in the right businesses. They've transitioned. They're the most diverse, in my opinion, and I think they're poised not only to take out that 105 all-time high we saw, but to take out probably the 115, 120 level in earnings on January 19th. Morgan Stanley sticks out to me as the best in breed right now.
All right, Mike Coe, thanks to you. For more options action, be sure to tune into the full show. That is Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up, it is Meatless Monday, and Chipotle has a brand new plant-based offering. We got all the details next, plus your final trades. Welcome back to Fast Money. Check out shares of Chipotle sinking today after releasing its new plant-based chorizo. The new menu item is certified vegan, contains 16 grams of protein per serving. Apparently, it is made with fresh peas, not pea protein isolate like Beyond Meat. Fresh peas. Guy, do you think this moves the needle?
It moves certain things, Mel. For me, you know exactly what it moves in terms of the stock. I don't think it moves the needle all that much. I don't like peas in its purest form. I can only imagine what they're like in the chorizo form.
Remember they had cauliflower rice? So they're into, you know, having vegetables stand in for other things. There's a picture of it. Looks pretty good. We had smell-o-vision. We might be able to smell it. Time for the final trade. Let's go around the horn. Tim Seymour.
Nobody likes his own material more than Guy Adami, but I like Bank of America a lot more than I like his material. And I think actually the stocks are going higher along with rates into earnings.
Does that say much? Karen.
Yeah, I like Kohl's. It's ridiculously cheap. It's down $13 from where they put up good numbers. And we'll see in 2 weeks if the activism of Selim wants to come back or not.
Dan.
Yeah, the XBI, Mel, the S&P Biotech ETF. I think it's a little beaten up here. I think you have a move above 20 pretty soon. You might see 130 quickly after that.
Guy Adami.
My constitution came up day one of 2022. AMAT, I think it blows through its recent all-time high.
Thanks for watching Fast. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.